Revelation. Revelation chapter 9. We're preaching through the book of Revelation. We're almost halfway. We're on chapter 10 today. But let's review here. Chapter 1, we saw a vision of Jesus Christ. We're introduced to the writer of the book of Revelation, the Apostle John, on the island of Patmos in the Mediterranean Sea. And then chapter 2 and 3 were the seven letters that are written to seven different types of churches. And then we see worship in chapter 4 and 5. We get a glimpse of what worship is like up in heaven. And then in the first half of the tribulation, there are four sets of seven judgments. There's the seals, the trumpets, the thunders, and the bowls or vials, bowls and vials, depending on which version you have. In the first half of the tribulation, we went over the seven seals of judgment. That was in chapter 6. And over the last 2 weeks, we've been going over the seven trumpets of judgment. So chapter 8 was the first four trumpets of judgment. Chapter 9, which we went over last week, was two more trumpets, trumpet number 5 and number 6. Trumpet number 7 comes in chapter 11, okay? So we got a little break in chapter 10, but in chapter 9, if you remember, the last three trumpets are pretty horrific. They're called the three woes. Woe, 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 as the eagle says to the earth. The first woe was trumpet number 5, which is the demons of hell are released on the earth to torment people on the earth for 5 months. Trumpet number 6 was this huge war that takes place. Maybe it's World War III, I don't know. But remember, the army has 200 million mounted troops, and one-third of the earth's population is killed in that war. So that's the second woe. The third woe, which is trumpet 7, again, is going to come next week, chapter 11. In the seals that we went over, when the seven judgments fell on the earth by God during the seals, we're told that one-fourth of the earth's population dies. Under the trumpets, we are told that one-third of the earth's population dies, okay? You'll see that like in chapter 9, if you look where it talks about, in verse 18, it says what? What percentage? A third of mankind was killed. Someone pointed this out to me last week, that if you have a quarter of the population that dies in the seals, in chapter 6, we're told that, and you have a third of the earth dying in the trumpets, that works out to 50% of the people on the earth died. I was like, I wasn't sure about that. I actually had to go home and take some figures. So I took different numbers, and first I took a fourth of that number, and then the number I had left, I took a third of it, and it did. It worked out exactly to that it was 50% of the original number. So in other words, in the first half of the tribulation, this is 1,260 days. The tribulation is 7 years long that God pours out his judgment. In the first half of the tribulation, 50% of the people on earth, at least 50%, die. Okay? So eventually we are going to get to the second half of the tribulation, which is 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. I point this out because every so often someone comes to me and says, well, Pastor, you know, the last half of the tribulation, that's the great tribulation. That's the it's really horrible. And I kind of chuckle to myself. In some sense, you're right, it is a horrible. But I chuckle to myself because in the first half of the tribulation, 50% of the people die on the earth. Can you get any worse? I don't know how you can get worse than that. 50% don't even make it to the middle of the tribulation. In the middle of the tribulation, we have chapters 10 to 14. And it's different events that kind of God takes a break for a little bit and explains a few things a little bit more in detail. And so that's where we're at, chapter 10. And it's kind of the beginning of a little break and a little bit of talking about some of the things that are happening in the midst of the tribulation. So we're going to go over chapter 10, then we have two witnesses, and then we're going to learn more about the Antichrist, and then we'll pick up with the seven vials, the seven bowls of judgment. So let's, chapter 10 to me is kind of like a breather a little bit. So let's start in chapter 10, verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. Now, some people think this is Jesus. I do not believe that for a couple of reasons. One is John says, then I saw another mighty angel. I don't know that. He's called an angel, a mighty angel, and it's another one. There's not another Jesus. And so because he says, I saw another mighty angel, that implies that there must have been one before, and there was. In chapter 5, if you come back to chapter 5, verse 2, back in chapter 5, verse 2, John writes, and now some have strong angel or mighty angel or whatever it is, but it is exactly the same in the Greek. In chapter 5, verse 2, John writes, and I saw a what? A mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? And but no one is worthy until Jesus Christ comes forth. So that's the first mighty angel. The second mighty angel's in chapter 10. Then I saw another mighty angel. And just if you're curious, in chapter 18, verse 21, is the last of the mighty angels. In Revelation 18, verse 21, we read, then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea. So there are, in Revelation, three mighty angels. Okay, so this is an angel. Verse 2, he was holding, I'm in chapter 10, he was holding a little scroll which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunder spoke. So this mighty angel says, now I want you to look at this here. At the last part of verse 3, when he shouted, do you have the voices? Okay, the voices of, well, let me get, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. Verse 4, and when the seven thunders spoke. See, what's unique about this is they're speaking. So the voices of the seven thunders, when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. Okay? So we got the voices of the seven thunders who speak. And John was going to write it down, but then he heard a voice from the Lord saying, no, don't record, don't write down about the seven thunders. So now there's lots of interesting thoughts about the seven thunders, so let me give some of them to you. A lot of commentaries made the interesting observation that how many continents are there in the world? Seven, interestingly enough. Exactly seven continents. And so some have thought that the voices of the seven thunders is God speaking some judgment to each of the seven continents. Interesting. But you understand it's just a theory, right? All right. So as long as everyone understands that. Turn to Psalm 29. Psalm 29. Don't lose Revelation chapter 10. Psalm 29, believe it or not, is the Psalm of the Seven Thunders. Psalm 29. It's known as the Psalm of the Seven Thunders. Psalm 29. And get your pen or pencil out. I don't know if you write in your Bibles or not notes, but I want you to underline some things in this psalm, and I want you to count with me. So the Psalm of the Seven Thunders, starting in verse 1 of Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Now look at verse 3. It says, the voice of the Lord, and we're going to count how many times we read the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. So let me stop here for a second. The other night, there was a thunderstorm that went through. And it's kind of like awesome when that thunder and lightning goes off. It's like, wow. Everyone hears that thunder from a great distance. Well, the psalmist is saying when God speaks, the voice of God is like thunder. Everyone hears it. It's powerful. It's, you know, it's not some little tiny voice. It's, you know, thunderous voice. So, underline in verse 3, the voice of the Lord. That's number one. That's the first voice of thunder, okay? Is the Lord thunders over the mighty waters. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. That's the second time. And then the third one is still in verse 4, the voice of the Lord is majestic. That's the third. Verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. So there's the fourth one. In verse 5, the voice of the Lord, that's the fourth one. And this is that when the Lord speaks, the voice of thunder, he breaks apart the cedars. His voice is so powerful, it just breaks apart the trees there, okay? The cedars. Verse 7, this is the fifth one. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. And it's this thunderous voice, and you know that there's lightning. And so I just picked this one. You got the lightning and you got the thunder. So that's the fifth one. Verse 8 is the sixth one. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. So when we were in our home the other day and there's this thunderstorm going on, when the thunder goes, I mean, our house shook. In fact, thunder can be so powerful that it feels, if you're outside, it feels like the earth is shaking with the power of the thunder going on. And that's what this verse is saying, that When God speaks, it's like thunder, and it shook the desert, okay? And then we have verse 9, which is the seventh one. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. So when the Lord speaks, it's so thunderous, so powerful, that literally the trees are all knocked down. The forest is wiped out. And in the temple, all cry glory. Verse 10. So you got the seven voices of thunder. Seven, the voices of the Lord. Okay. So verse 10. The Lord sits enthroned over the, what does it say? The flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So it says the Lord sits over the flood. Every time this word, flood, is used in the Old Testament, it always refers to the flood during Noah's day. In fact, this, if you say, well, this is some other flood he's talking about, then this would be the only exception. But we believe that this, that the seven voices of thunder in Psalm 29 is what God spoke, his voice, seven times when the flood occurred on the earth. It was the first time that the people had ever experienced rain and storm, you know, that brought the flood and brought judgment on the earth. So when God judged the earth the first time, he spoke seven times the voices of thunder that brought devastation to the planet. So in Revelation, it looks like God will repeat what he did during the flood, except God isn't going to destroy the earth by flood. In the book of Revelation, he has a new method, but that he's going to speak seven times again. And that's the seven voices of the thunder that John was going to write down. So let's come back to Revelation chapter 10. So God's going to, in a sense, repeat exactly what he did the first time he destroyed the earth during the flood, spoke seven times. And in Revelation, when he is doing the final judgment on the earth, seven thunders again. The voice of the seven thunders. So John said he was going to write it down, but what did heaven say to do when John was going to write it down? Don't write it down, right? So you cannot believe how many what I consider false prophets and prophetesses claim that God has revealed to them what this, what we all know it's probably the voice of God, but that God has revealed to them the seven things he is going to say ahead of time, okay? So like this is a seminar, the mystery of the seven thunders. Some others believe that the mystery of the seven thunders is what the messages were to the seven churches, which I don't follow that one at all. There's a group of Christians in 1995. They believe the seven thunders literally sounded on the earth. This was seven major tectonic booms from deep inside the earth. Scientists could find no reason for the seven booms from deep inside the earth. And so there's all these churches that the seven thunders has already happened, and it was these booms. You know what? Even though these churches believe it, I couldn't find anything on the internet backing that up. And I was like, it doesn't make sense to me that in 1995 was the seven thunders, because that would mean the rest of Revelation had already occurred, which hasn't happened. The Seventh-day Adventists have a whole thing on what they believe that the seven thunders are. It's just amazing. Now, I say all that to tell you that God has revealed to me the seven thunders. And for the right amount of money, I will reveal them to you. But you'll have to see me after the service. And of course, I hope everyone, the new people are, I'm being facetious, right? It's during the tribulation, you'll know when the seven thunders happen, okay? Because it will be, I believe, the voice. It'll be the voice. I think it's going to be the voice of God. And he's going to be saying something to the earth. And you'll know it at that time, okay? But until that happens, I don't think God's going to let anyone know what they are. All right, so let's read on. Verse 5. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven. And he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them. I believe the angel is lifting his hand up to Jesus, because Jesus is the creator. And he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in them, and the sea and all that is in them, and said, there will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants the prophets. So the angel says there will be no more delay. From the middle of the tribulation to the end of the tribulation, for the next 3.5 years, you will see that there will be no more delay. Satan and the evil angels are going to be thrown out of heaven. That's the first part of the cleansing. And then they'll be, at the end of the 3.5 years, they'll be locked away. Verse 8. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So here's this scroll that's in the angel's hand. John's told to go take it from that angel. Verse 9, so I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour. But in your mouth, it will be as sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. So he's obviously eating the next part of the book of Revelation that God is going to give him. When he eats it in his mouth, how does it taste? Sweet. But when he digests it, how is it? Sour. So I want to close. This is the tough thing about the book of Revelation. And it's a mixed thing. If you really digest the book of Revelation. A lot of Christians, including myself, we get so excited to study the book of Revelation and to see all this, to see how much is coming to pass, how much is taking place. I'm not up yet, but we're coming soon to when the Antichrist forces everyone to get a mark so people can't buy or sell without having a mark on their, you know, their right forehand or on their forehead. And have you been seeing in the news that this company in the USA has put chips in all their employees, most of their employees' hands? Have you seen that? And today's generation, these people are like, who cares? I mean, they're just doing it, no problem whatsoever. And it's like, wow, here's another sign how close people are to, oh yeah, go ahead, put something on my hand here that I, you know, can only buy and sell if I have this, you know. And it's like, it's amazing. So there's a side of Revelation that's sweet. It's like, wow, this is so amazing. Oh, it's so true. And, you know, look how this could actually happen today. But listen, if you really digest the book of Revelation, then your stomach, your spiritual stomach goes sour. When you realize the rebellion against God, the absolute worship of Satan by people in the end times. The 50% of the world that's going to die in the first half of the tribulation. The awfulness of the rebellion of people on the earth, that at the end of the tribulation, the people will literally gather together with all their weapons to try to blow up Jesus Christ and the saints coming back from heaven. I mean, it just is like, if you really understand, yeah, it's sweet, God wins, the Christians are in heaven, but how sour it is as well. That people are going to die and go to hell, and they need to hear about Jesus. It's so mixed. Most preachers won't preach on Revelation. Because you see, today, preachers only want to preach sweet stuff. Sweet stuff. They only want to give the sugar of the Bible. But unfortunately, a lot of the Bible, though it's always sweet like honey at first, a lot of it is sour when you realize the sinfulness of man. Let's have the elders. Let's have communion.